My name is Lauren Spaniolo, and I am your host today, and it's really great to be back in Vancouver. My guest today is Jayashree Lambert, who is a Ayurvedic practitioner. And along with Jayashree is Madhuri Phillips, who is also the co-sponsor in Vancouver Ayurvedic Meetup Group and also a Vancouver yoga teacher. So today we're going to talk about another aspect of yoga. So we know yoga to be on the mat. So we're going to talk about Ayurveda, which is a healing philosophy, which is thousands of years old, and Jayashree is going to talk about that today. So tune in today, and if you know of anybody who's, you know, has some kind of suffering or long-term ailment or, you know, wants to gain some awareness of their body, get them to listen in, and we've got some information as we go along today in the program. So thank you, Jayashree, for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit how you got onto your path of the start of your Ayurvedic practitioner path.
My journey.
Yeah, your journey.
Yeah, I was actually a teacher, a high school teacher of French, and I had health problems, nervous system problems. I had migraine, which involves hormonal imbalance, digestive imbalance, postural imbalance, just about everything. So I had a lot to learn and discovered Ayurvedic medicine in, probably the 70s, but didn't start to study it until the mid-80s.
Now, were you in Vancouver at the time?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah. At that time, I met Robert Svoboda, well-known author in Ayurveda. And he suggested that I meet his teacher, Dr. Ladd. Mm-hmm. And when I did meet his teacher, I experienced a life-changing influence. Finally, someone who was a master teacher of Ayurvedic medicine that I could learn with thoroughly.
And so what is, how would you describe Ayurvedic medicine? If someone's listening, you know, I know that someone is listening. How would you describe Ayurvedic philosophy?
Ayurveda is the world's oldest holistic medical science. It's a comprehensive science of prevention and cure. It's a sister science to yoga. Yoga, the seven limbs of Patanjali. So they're coming from the same philosophy, Sankhya philosophy, which is how to enumerate the creation. Because there's one sun, there's one moon, there's nine planets, there's two eyes, there's a single third eye, there's trillions of cells. Everything is enumerated in Ayurvedic philosophy to describe the creation. What is the human being within creation? What's the purpose of life? What happens when we get symptoms, disease, and how to extricate from that so we can fulfill our life purpose, our self-realization.
And what was the most profound change for you as you were gaining knowledge of the practice?
My own health.
Your own health.
Was the profound impact for me, getting better from two generations at least that I knew of chronic migraine. Yeah, it was worth it for me not to, you know, be popping pills and depleting my liver and missing work and, you know, having misery.
Mm-hmm. So is Ayurveda a diet, or is it, how do you diagnose?
Mm-hmm. You know, we use the term assessment, and assessment is from 8 or 10 major criteria: how the person looks, how they sound, what the sound of their voice, the presentations in the eyes, the face, the hands, the posture. So we have to observe everything. We also observe through Nadi Pariksha, which means the pulse assessment, radial pulse reading. So I've learned a subtle art of 7 levels of pulse assessment, that the cardiac impulse, as it moves through the various organs, tissue levels, and levels of consciousness, indicates certain qualitative manifestations. So we learn to read those qualitative manifestations. There were no microscopes years ago.
Right.
Yeah. There was a need for direct perception. So many times the diagnostic skills from the Nadi Pariksha can, in many instances, be much superior to modern diagnostics, which are good, mm-hmm. right? All has the right place, but these ancient methods are very mystical, and understand that the human being is a soul. It's not a mechanical thing, like a car.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Ayurveda isn't, I wouldn't say, most people are familiar with traditional Chinese medicine. So is it sort of in the same alignment with that?
It is. And TCM, CCM, classical Chinese medicine, modern Chinese medicine, as practiced in the West, just the needles, just a certain couple few special techniques remain with the modern Chinese medicine. But yes, it came also from, they use the term, over the Himalayas.
Mm-hmm.
So Chinese medicine, though it developed later, came to America earlier, was based originally in the same five elements. With time, history has, through the local Chinese backdrop, developed a different interpretation of the five elements. But in my study, I was interested in the original holistic medical science, and that's why I more studied Ayurveda.
Right. So if one, like as a yoga practitioner, would it be to their benefit, do you feel, to gain some knowledge on Ayurveda so that it enhances their yoga practice, whether by eating, whether by postures, etc.?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Every yogini, yogi,
mm-hmm.
every person practicing yoga asana, pranayama, dhyan, meditation, they do need to understand these five elements and how the creation is structured. What are the different stages, seasons, how to adapt summer to winter? We're not teenagers anymore.
Right. And do you feel that that's a missing element? Like in the yoga community, in terms of Ayurveda, the knowledge of Ayurveda?
Good question. You know, there's more and more awareness that yoga and Ayurveda must go together.
Mm. That you feel they must go together.
Yeah, they mm-hmm. do go together.
Right.
For example, in India, when the children had a cough or cold, the grandma used to know which herbs to give and which restrictions to suggest. And that they weren't to do headstand, right, having fever.
Right.
Right. Right. Or so, yes, to adapt to one's constitution is decidedly a central tenet of Ayurvedic medicine. Balance to your own elements. Are you fiery? Are you watery? Are you more airy, nervous type? Every yoga class needs to be, or yoga program, adapted to that individual.
And this is where it gets a little bit, challenging, for, say a yoga teacher, and how to have awareness of who's in the class and what posture they might or may not do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I find that sort of it's a question for me, mm-hmm. Maduri, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, in the traditional teaching of yoga, it was teacher-student, an individual session.
Right.
And now we've created large yoga classes where there might be up to 50 people in a class. And exactly how does the teacher accommodate mm-hmm. every individual? And I feel that it's really partly the responsibility of the individual to learn and know what they should and should not be doing at what time. And part of it is the responsibility of the teacher to understand these basic principles of Ayurveda. So, for example, you have a fiery person, a pitta predominant person, they should not be jumping into a Bikram's class, which is going to elevate the heat. These are basic things that we must be aware of. Otherwise, I don't feel it's called yoga at all. Mm. We're actually taking ourselves or our students out of balance, and I think that's irresponsible.
Right.
So it is about education, and I think we have to start as being an example for that.
Right. Right. So, Maduri, as the co-sponsor of the Vancouver Ayurveda Meetup Group, That was a mouthful. You're also organizing Jayashree to come into Vancouver to put on these question and answer sessions for people. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Jayashree has been really wonderful at coming and giving us her time and her knowledge to kick off the new beginnings of the Vancouver Ayurveda meetup group. So she'll be coming on Monday, July 14th to do a question and answer period where people can come if they don't know anything about Ayurveda, that's fine. They can come and ask a health question that they might be curious about, that perhaps they have tried allopathic medicine or don't want to go the Western medical route, but perhaps would like another alternative.
Right.
So they can come on that evening and ask these questions to Jayashree.
Mm-hmm. That's a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it'll be at the Eastside Yoga Studio on Grant Street off of Commercial Drive.
That's right.
Right. So we're just about to take a little break, and we're going to listen to a little bit of Vancouver's pianist Zoe Wren. So we'll be back in a few moments. You're listening to Drishti Point, Co-op Radio, 102.7 FM. And for those of you in the Commodore Kitchen, learn about Ayurveda.
Drishti Point proudly presents Free Yoga Day on Monday, August 4th. Yoga studios across the province open their doors to offer free...
Listening to Drishti Point. And we're speaking today with Jayashree Lambert and Madhuri Phillips. Jayashree is going to be doing Ayurveda meetup groups, question and answers. And this is, I believe, by donation, $15 is suggested. And the first one is going to be on Monday, July the 14th, just after 7 till 9:30 p.m. at the Eastside Yoga Studio on Grant and Commercial. So again, if there's anyone that you know who's wanting to gain some self-awareness or who's a yoga practitioner who you know, might have some questions about their practice and how they should move in the world, you know, by eating and by what they should be drinking, what postures, etc. It's quite a fascinating healing philosophy. So, Jayashree, back to the real discussion. Let's talk about the real meat of Ayurveda. So if someone were to come in to see you, what would be an example? What are the services that you would provide? Like, what would you do? Give us a little bit of example.
On the first visit, typically, the person will come in with some health concern.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have asked them typically to visit my website so they can prepare ahead of time to make good use of our time together, because we'll have typically a two-hour interview, but it does sort of go very quickly unless a person's well prepared. So I ask them to list their concerns. Many times their first concern is what they've had in mind as a recent problem, but they may have forgotten other secondary concerns that have sort of faded back into the woodwork a little bit. So I ask them to prepare all their concerns, as well as a history from birth. So it's interesting when people go back to their birth time, their birthplace. Was it a normal birth? How many months were you nursed? Were there any traumas, hospitalizations, diseases before first year, etc.? You go into quite a detailed history and then come to understand their entire constitutional nature, right from the genetic factor right through to their current preferences and choices. So then we'll co-create together a health program that works in within the parameters of their needs, their budget, their lifestyle. Everyone's different.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you also get into the actual asana, the yoga postures?
Sure. We'll suggest whatever they need by way of asana, pranayama, meditation.
Mm-hmm. So then it's all, well, they're doing their own practice. They're not exactly going to a class then, are they?
Typically, it's best to do yoga in the morning as an early morning routine.
Right. And what are the, in your case studies, you know, that people that come to see you, what's been the most common ailment out there, or is it really kind of all over the place?
Is it? It is all over the place, but I would say fatigue is the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
Fatigue, digestive problems, hormonal imbalances, skin problems, psychological problems, nervous system, sleep.
So right.
Pretty much everything.
And what do you think those main causes are? Are they mainly from external factors that are going out in society, or is it a combination of things?
Very good. You know, I think there's lack of information and stress.
Mm-hmm.
So stress is a big factor, and we do see that people kill themselves with stress. The food choices as well is huge. If people are aggravating their own condition, some people, I remember a gal coming with sleeplessness. So I asked, well, do you have coffee? Well, I'm down to 6 cups a day.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So you don't have far to look to find out the cause,
uh-huh.
right? But many times the cause is more hidden, and there'll be
right.
hidden anxieties. And so we need to counsel on how to structure the mental habits in such a way that they're not producing stress, but solving stress.
Mm-hmm. Is meditation a part of the Ayurvedic practice?
Yes, I think so. It's often considered the first medicine.
Oh, really?
Because all our diseases in the Ayurvedic model come from a psycho-spiritual imbalance or misinterpretation of some type. The term unmad, the term for psychosis in Ayurvedic medicine, means forgetfulness of God.
Wow. That is fascinating.
So it means to some degree we've all forgotten God, if we get stressed at all.
How do you spell that?
Unmad, U-N-M-A-D, mad for Mahat, the universal mind.
Wow. That's quite amazing.
So to remember God, to remember means to be here now, if you like, to be in the present.
Right.
To not be in the past or the future. And that meditative practice does bring a sense of being present to your body, to your experience, to your to your life.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's many... you know, I don't want to call them diets, but, you know, everyone has their idea of what we should be eating and all that. And I know that it's also individual. And so I think that's a big confusing thing for people out there as well. You know, so I know that in Ayurveda also that you know, talk about food. And in terms of, you know, we are here in the West. Should we not follow the rhythms of what's going on, like, you know, with the weather? Like, you know, whether, you know, spring, summer, fall, that sort of thing. And how does Ayurveda meet with that?
Very good. Yes, Ayurveda is very cognizant of seasonal food availability,
mm-hmm.
regional supply and demand, as well as the fact that we're in a global world at the moment. The food choices are a question of individual digestibility. Time of day as well. Somebody, for example, will commonly say, oh, I just don't have a regular lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
Then they develop blood sugar imbalances, so they wonder why. And they can't as yet see the link between having lunch maybe one day at 11:30, another day at 2:30. And naturally, the blood sugar fluctuations are going to result.
Right. So you feel that being consistent with when you're eating also is important?
It is. Not only seasonal adaptations, winter, summer.
Yes.
But also adaptation to your age and stage. A pregnant woman and a postpartum woman, postmenopausal woman, they all have three different requirements.
Right.
Now, the key words in Ayurvedic medicine, vata, which stands for air factor, pitta, which stands for fire factor, psychobiological fire factor, and kapha, the earth and water factor. These three, vata, pitta, and kapha, they are the determining factors with regards to the food choices, the lifestyle choices, the yoga choices.
Right.
even professional choices.
Really?
Because Pitta people are more organizationally inclined, and Vata people are more creative.
Right.
Kapha people are very reliable, so they'll show up when they say they will and do the job step by step, logically, slowly, gradually, the turtle.
Right. Can you tell by someone's stature, just by looking at them, at what they are?
Generally, yes. Yeah. After some years, we find out how the eyes move, what is the texture of the hair. And yes, you're talking to the person, so you have a direct image of mm-hmm. how tall are they. You know, are they a little waif of a thin person who loves to do jogging?
Right.
Are they red-haired and bossy? Are they...
redheads. Yes.
Are they slow, sluggish, take their time, mm-hmm. manifest patience? Yeah, pretty... You do get a feel for it. But the actual medical readings should come from the pulse assessment.
Right. Do you find that in society today, you know, it's like we're running all the time, right? If, you know, you're running for a bus, or you're running to, or even when you're sitting at your desk or whatever, you know, job you have, and it's hard to be present, and therefore it's hard to keep wellness. You know, it's like society doesn't really support wellness. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the natural rhythms of a human being.
The West Coast of British Columbia, a little more so than average, perhaps. Because people do love to go outdoors. People
yes.
do love to go to their yoga class. And people do love to choose organically grown foods. And these are all helping factors. There is this factor of moving too fast, and how to really draw that back to a place of reasonable relationship with time. I wrote a paper recently called Right Use of Time,
mm-hmm.
Rutucharya, the seasonal adaptation to time, because we only have now.
Right.
And when the people bring their meditation practice, bring their yoga practice, bring their pranayama practice into their work life, they will find that they'll be present more easily, instead of on the to-do list or I can't get it all to done today list.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing right. but frustration.
Right. I'll just go to Maduri here. Maduri, why have you started the meetup groups, the Vancouver Ayurveda? How did that start?
Well, the Ayurveda meetup group has been going on, I believe, since last summer, and Todd Caldicott was heading that. Oh. And because of time and family and things, it was the natural time for him to pass that on. So myself and Glynis Osher have taken over the role of organizing that, as we both feel really passionate about Ayurveda and getting the knowledge and wisdom of Ayurveda into the public eye and into the mainstream alongside of yoga, so that people can bring a more holistic approach to not only their yoga practice, but to their life and their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. We had Todd on the show, actually, and we didn't get so much talking about Ayurveda. He did talk about as a human beings, you know, and his philosophy on eating. So I thought that was quite interesting. I was expecting something a little bit different with him, with Ayurveda. But he talked a lot about, you know, what humans ate in the beginning of time, sort of thing, and going back to that.
Yeah, I think what Todd has seen is that Ayurveda doesn't have to be something we think of as an ancient Indian practice,
right,
but how to bring it into a modern context mm-hmm. that we can all utilize in a practical way. And that is really our job as Ayurvedic practitioners and teachers of Ayurveda, to really make it accessible.
Okay, great. So again, if you're listening, we're speaking to Jayashree Lambert and Madhuri Phillips today. We're talking about Ayurveda, which is the other side of yoga. And their first question and answer session is going to be on Monday, July the 14th at the Eastside Yoga Studio on Grant Street and Commercial, just after 7 p.m. And there is a $15 suggested donation. My name is Lauren Spaniello. I'm your host today, and you're listening to This Hours of Drishti Point. And my guests today have been Jayashree Lambert, who is a Ayurvedic practitioner, and Madhuri Phillips, who is the co-sponsor of the Vancouver Ayurvedic Meetup Groups. That's going to be happening on Monday, July the 14th, as I was mentioning a little bit earlier. If you want information on that, you can call 604-215-0037. And it's going to be at the Eastside Yoga Studio on Grant Street off of Commercial Drive. And in addition to the question and answer sessions, there's also going to be consultations in July, so July 21st to the 23rd. So Jayashree is also not only an Ayurvedic practitioner, but she it's a powerful hands-on healing science that she offers called Turiya Therapy. Have I pronounced that properly?
Turiya Therapy, correct.
Turiya Therapy.
Yes.
Okay, and how did that develop? How did the name come up?
The name was given by my teacher, Dr. Ladd, because I had learned polarity therapy, which was developed by Dr. Randolph Stone, and I had actually created a school for teaching classes in Vancouver. And one year, Dr. Ladd asked me, what is the name of the work that I do? And I said to him, polarity therapy. He said, well, that should be changed because people will think that that's all that you do.
Right.
And so he asked me for a case history, which I gave to him, and he came up with the name, Turiya Therapy, he said, as if he realized that it was showing that this body work is a way to transcend the root causes of disease.
Mm-hmm. So you're it's a hands-on healing as well that you feel that the body needs.
Yes, it's a way to use still points that access marma points. Marma points are doorways to deeper levels of consciousness and awareness in the body. And the still point work is to hold those points so that the person can quiet their mind and enter the inner space between the thoughts and come to realize what their symptoms have been caused by.
Uh-huh. And so in all your knowledge that you've gained, where are you at with your own personal journey on mm-hmm. on this path?
Room for improvement.
Room for improvement?
Always.
Always?
Sure.
Is it nonstop, Jayashree?
I think so.
We were talking about that on the break. Madhuri and I were.
I think so, because mm-hmm. there's always, life is a dynamic process, mm-hmm. and it's not a static phenomenon whatsoever. So there's always room for improvement with health, with well-being, with discipline, with selfless service. Yeah, I think there's always room for improvement.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned selfless service. Do you think that's one of the key things to well-being?
I do. I'm schooled in that way of thinking where when we've put God first, then family second, and then community third, and we have resources, time, money, to devote to others, then definitely it is the only way to happiness. Mm-hmm. I haven't found any other way.
Right. And Madhuri, in your yoga, as a yoga teacher, and as you are on your personal path, what has been the most, I guess, self-knowledge of what's something that you've valued so far on your path?
I valued a lot on my path, and it's this cycle that I keep returning to and getting reminded of, and I believe it truly is to come back to ourselves.
Right.
And that everything we do need to know is within.
It is.
And to trust and have faith in that mm-hmm. is what I'm being reminded of again lately.
Right. So as if someone is a new yoga student or, again, who is seeking, you know, something else other than the allopathic, you know, way of healing, what would you, how would you get them started on that path?
I think I would ask what they want to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people do want to come to yoga as a physical practice.
Right.
And that only, and that is fine and legitimate.
Right.
Some people come more from the meditative perspective and want to learn about the mind and their mind and self-inquiry. So it really depends on the direction and aspirations of the student. However, because of my passion for Ayurveda, I would guide them to learn about both, because that will bring in the practical aspect of how to bring healing to the physical body.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As well as the mind, as they're connected in one. So.
Right, right. Jayashree, you mentioned God. Right. So what does that look like for you?
Okay. Well, in my personal interpretation,
right,
I would describe it as the phenomenon of love.
Right.
That we use the word God, but it's to describe something that's really said to be indescribable, and try to give a name to something that's really unnameable. So we try to give a word for convenience of understanding, simply that only. But it is a monotheistic philosophy whereby there's seen to be one supreme intelligence in the universe, one conscious passive awareness that generated the creation. And from that generation, there precipitated the human mind, the human ego, and the human body. So these three can undergo happiness or unhappiness. So the idea is to learn how to choose happiness.
Mm-hmm. And so you have that in mind. Is that part of your practice as well? Do you remind your patients that?
Yes, and a spiritual counsel does come into the interviews in the sense that many times our difficulties or our stresses are because of misunderstandings, simple spiritual misunderstandings. Oh, I'm so exhausted. Well, what is right use of time? What needs to be done? Let's get practical.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
That's what you mean by that.
In that sense.
In that sense.
But every situation's different.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in, let's say there was a gentleman that came to me not too long ago with lipoma and deciding whether to get it surgically removed. Now, he had spent a lot of time preparing for his surgery with his internal medicine program, with diet, herbs, etc. And he was able to calculate his surgical intervention at an auspicious time.
Mm-hmm.
He went through the surgery perfectly. He came out of it with no harm. And he was able to undergo a traumatic situation without trauma, really.
Right, right. That's amazing. And what do you think that the patients that come to you, what is the one thing that they would need to know before they come and see you?
I think knowing those three words, vata, pitta,
mm-hmm.
and kapha,
mm-hmm.
those are the most helpful things, because those three words introduce them to a vast new way of thinking.
Right. Okay. Very, very good. Very interesting. I could use that.
You and many.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Well, I get confused of it too. That's the truth. I mean, you know, we all do, right? We're all on that path. What about patients? You know, when someone comes to see you, it's like, okay, so, you know, they've been ailing for so many, you know, years or what have you. What about patients?
You know, chronic unresponsive illness is one of the more common things we see, because people have come to Ayurveda as the station of last resort.
Right.
Now, the same counsel has to be given as if they had come early in their pathogenesis, which is to adjust their food choices, the lifestyle choices, the thinking choices, and to come into alignment with who they are. Then very quickly, mental and emotional factors reduce. because of the interactive nature of mind and body. So why do we give medicines for emotional suffering?
Right.
Is because it also has some physical counterpart, some symptom, some toxins that have built up or are building up. Once that's corrected, then the person is free to decide whether they want to carry on their previous relationship to stress and relationships and work and family, etc. So it slowly develops through the body first and mind next. Even though mind may be more informative, still, you just can't change the mind just like that.
No, it's a process, isn't it?
It is.
It really is. Wow. Well, we're coming to that time. Is there anything that you want to share with the audience before we leave today?
Well, I think we want to invite people to consider the Turiya therapy training, which is taking place July 18 to 20th in a yoga studio on the west side, which is called East West Yoga Studio on West 4th Avenue. And the Turiya therapy is a training of one weekend, Friday evening, 6 to 9, and Saturday and Sunday, noon to 8.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And we're going to learn the whole general session protocols during that weekend. It's very powerful, very safe, and very easily integrated into other bodywork modalities.
Wow, that's great.
It's a fun event. So
right.
People can get more information if they like from www.ayurveda-seminars.com. www.ayurveda-seminars.com.
And maybe they can also call Maduri, which is 604-215-0037.
Definitely.
I want to thank both of you for coming down today, for taking the time to visit us at Drishti Point.
Thank you.
Yeah.